evening. Tonight's shiur dedicated to Ilui Nishmas Yoel Baruch and Shmuel Avraham. This week's parasha Chukas is the first Shabbos in the month of Tammuz. There's therefore definitely a connection between the parasha and the month, as the Shalor writes that whatever you read at a given time is connected to the time concerning the parasha of the week and the month that the parasha is being read. This parasha, on the outset at least, looks like a very sad parasha. It discusses the death of Miriam, leading to the chet of Mei Meriva. Mei Meriva is the source of what leads to the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, and to Moshe Rabbeinu is being prevented from entering Eretz Yisrael. We also have in this parasha the death of Aharon. We also have the cessation of the well that came along in the Schus of Miriam and the clouds that came along in the Schus of Aharon. We have a number of wars in this week's parasha. The Jews are prevented from entering the land of Edom. They have to fight Amalek. They have to deal with the serpents, the Nechoshim, the Seraphim. And then at the end of the parasha, they have to deal with Sichon and Og. But there, they are victorious. And Moshe Rabbeinu kills Sichon and Og, thus enabling Klal Yisrael to enter into Eretz Yisrael. And we find ourselves on the last journey of the 42 Masa'is. The last Masa of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar is at the end of this week's parasha. The last pasuk is Vayisu b'nei Yisrael v'yachnu ba'arva yismayov me'eva liyarden yirechoy. This was the last stop. This is where the story of Shittim takes place with Zimri and Pinchas. Here's where Moshe Rabbeinu begins teaching them Sefer Devarim and continues until the end. So this is the last stop. In fact, the greatest jump in time is in this week's parasha. The parasha begins with Parah Aduma, which is in the second year that they're in the desert, and then it skips to the story of Misas Miriam, which is in the 40th year. So we are skipping 38 years from Parah Aduma to Misas Miriam, which is one of the explanations to Rashi's question of why is the parasha that talks about the death of Miriam juxtaposed to Parah Aduma. There's such a gap in between. What's it doing here? If anything, Parah Aduma should have been discussed in a previous Sefer of Chumash at the time of the Hakamas HaMishkan, as Rashi answers, because the death of Miriam, the death of a Tzadikus or a Tzadik, is Mechaper, just like the Parah Aduma. So on the outset, this is certainly a sad parasha, which in this parasha there's a lot of death, especially what it looks like death, the death of Miriam, the death of Aharon, and the future death of Moshe as a result of the Chet of Mei Meriva, which takes place in this week's parasha. We find at the Chet of Mei Meriva, which itself is a chayk, it's like Parah Aduma. No one really understands what the chayt was. The Aruch Chaim gives 10 explanations to try to explain it. The Mefarshim have a difficult time here to explain what the chayt actually was. What do we want from Moshe Rabbeinu? He was told to take the stick in the first place. Kaches Hamata. 40 years before this, he was actually commanded to hit the rock. V'hikisa batsur. So Moshe Rabbeinu was confused. And it's almost, and many Mefarshim say it is, that Hashem sort of put him in the position of making this mistake to prevent him from going into Eretz Yisrael. There, the Torah tells us, V'dibartem el hasela le'enehem. You should speak to the rock, to their eyes. The Mefarshim asks, what does that mean, to their eyes? When someone talks, you hear, you don't see. Now, some explain it, meaning that they should see you talking to the rock. That's what it means. They should see you talking. But still, this is an unusual expression when we're talking about speech, to say le'enehem. Moshe Rabbeinu is very upset with Klal Yisrael. They're urging him on to hit any rock, to talk to any rock. He's looking for the rock. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hamin hasela hazeh noitzi lochem moyin. Do you think that from any rock I can bring out water? It has to be a specific rock. So the Baal HaTurim says that this word, Hamin hasela, is compared to the word Hamin that you find by the Chet Eitz Hadas, Hamin ha'etz. And he compares the two. He says, just like by the Eitz Hadas, Adam did not listen to the command to refrain from the Eitz Hadas. Here too, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't do what he's commanded. And that's a very, very sharp statement to equate Chet Mei Meriva to Chet Eitz Hadas. What exactly does that mean? We know that the beginning of every parasha is connected to the end. The parasha begins with Parah Aduma, which is the most, the mitzvah that is the most illogical. As we know, it's the chayk. So it's chukas ha-toyer. There is no other mitzvah that is so confusing and illogical as the Parah Aduma is. And no one understands the reason for it, even Shlaima HaMelech. But Moshe Rabbeinu, the Medrash says, did know the reason for Parah Aduma. V'yikhu eilecha Parah Aduma, says the Medrash, l'cho ani megala tam parah. To you I'm going to reveal the reason for the Parah Aduma. What's the idea behind this? If the Parah Aduma has no reason, it has no logic, so how is it that Moshe Rabbeinu can understand it? The Parsha ends with the battle against Sichon and Og. Now, Sichon and Og, the Torah tells us here, who were the two giants, children of Malachim, that had come down from Shemayim, as Rashi says it in Parshas Shlach, that they were Bnei Sham Chazoi Ben Uziel, to Gemara actually, in Saita. Sichon conquers the land that belongs to Moav. And here we find that the Torah elaborates on that war. Unusual that the Torah should talk in detail about what seems to be totally insignificant. And as the Svarim tell us, that it's in these psukim that seem to be unimportant that the greatest secrets of the Torah lie. We know that when it comes to mitzvahs, the Torah hardly tells us anything. It's just an extra letter, an extra word, and we have to go through the entire Torah Shabbat Peh to figure it out. And here the Torah is elaborating on the war with Sichon and Og and Emori. The Jews were commanded that they're not allowed to conquer Moav yet. Moav doesn't belong to us until Mashiach comes. So Hashem did it in a roundabout way. Amayinu Moav tiharu b'sichon, as the Gemara says. That Moav is being conquered here by Sichon, so that the Jews can later take away the land from Sichon, and it's not considered that they conquered Moav, because Sichon took it for them. And then now they could take it from them. And the Torah tells us that the capital of Sichon, Sichon Melech HaEmori, the capital that Sichon conquers from Moav is called Cheshbon. Ki Cheshbon ir Sichon Melech HaEmori hi. The city known as Cheshbon was originally Moav. Hu nilcham b'melech Moav harishon v'yikach es kol artzoi miyodoi ad Arnon. And then the Torah tells us, al kein yoimru hamoishlim boyu Cheshbon, that Bilam and Baor, Bilam was hired by Moav. Actually, by Sichon. Bilam was hired by Sichon to curse Moav, and Bilam was successful. He cursed Moav, and Sichon won the war, and they captured Cheshbon, and now it belongs to Sichon. Tibana v'sikon and ir Sichon. Ki eish yotzamei Cheshbon. On and on, the Torah talks about the city of Cheshbon. And the curse that Bilam said to Moav was, Oilecha Moav, woe upon you, Moav, avat ta'am Kemosh. The city, the people of Kemosh. Kemosh was the name of the Avodah Zarah of Moav. You are lost. Nosan Bonav Pelatim of Anoisav Bashvis. The sons of Moav are refugees, and the daughters were taken into captivity. Lamelech Amoiri Sichon. Daniram Ovad Cheshbon Adivain, and Cheshbon is now lost forever, and it was taken over by Sichon. And now that Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisrael conquered Sichon, they got in a roundabout way, they got the city of Cheshbon. Why does the Torah talk to us so much about this? What does this, who cares? Why is this important? What does this have to do with this parish? What does it have to do with Parah Aduma, which the Torah starts off talking about? What does it have to do with Chodesh Tammuz, the month that we are now entering? Tomorrow night is Rosh Chodesh. Tonight, Chavtes Sivan, is actually the day when the Meraglim were sent. The Meraglim were sent on the 29th of Sivan, and most of their journey was in Chodesh Tammuz. Just like Chet HaEgel was in Chodesh Tammuz. Tammuz, as we spoke about last week, Tammuz was a different year, the year after. Egel was the first year. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down Shiv Osir B'Tammuz. The Egel was actually put together on Tes Zayin Tammuz. And the year later is when they sent the Meraglim. But most of the journey of the Meraglim, which means most of the plot of the Meraglim to come back with the negative report, was Tammuz. So Tammuz went through a tremendous Yerida. And as we mentioned, Shavasa B'Tammuz was supposed to be the day that Moshe is supposed to give us the first Luchais. The first Luchais, had we received the first Luchais, I could leave it open to drop. There should be some air in it. The first Luchais that we received, Yud Zayin Tammuz, had we received those luchas, we never would have forgotten. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says in Erevin that there wouldn't have been any golas. The Gemara says this, Ilmole nishtabra luchas len loy mashla bohem shum umma v'lashay. Not one nation could ever rule over us. There wouldn't have been any golas. There wouldn't have been any shikha, no forgetfulness. But what really should be said is that eternity would have prevailed. There would have been eternity to Klal Yisrael. Nitzchias. Nitzchias is what we lost on Yud Zayin Tammuz. It was supposed to be the day in which we were supposed to be receiving the light, the hidden light. That's why Yud Zayin Tammuz is begonachri Yehi Or Vayehi Or. It's rooted in the Or HaGonis, which is the hidden light that we talk about at the beginning of creation. Machshava Tchila. In fact, Tammuz b'miluah, if you spell out the word Tammuz, Tof is Tof Yud Vav, and Mem is Mem Mem, and Vav Vav, Zayin Yud Nun is begonachri Vayemir Alekim Yehi Or. Tammuz is a month of light that unfortunately was turned into a month of darkness as a result of the Chet HaEgel. Tammuz, we said, is the month of Reuven. Reuven also went through this Yerida because of the Pachas Kamayim Al Toysar, Ki Olisa Mishkevei Avicha Azchil Alta Yitzui Ola. Reuven, because of his impulsive act, lost the Bechayra, he lost the Kahuna, he lost the Malchus. Tammuz is actually not only the month of Reuven, but it's the month of Moshe Rabbeinu. What does that mean? There are the months as they correspond to the Shvatim, and then the first 7 months of the year correspond to the seven shepherds. That's Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, David. That means Nisan is Avraham Avinu, which makes sense. Nisan is the month of Pesach. It all started in Nisan. Avraham is the Yom Tov of Pesach, and so on. Iyar is Yitzchak. Sivan is Yaakov. Tammuz is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe is Netzach. In the seven spheres, we say Chesed, Gevurah, Teferes. Netzach is the fourth. Netzach means eternity. Netzach is Yerushalayim. And that's why in Tammuz, the opposite occurred. In Tammuz, the wall around Yerushalayim was cracked. And access to Yerushalayim was given to the nations. Edom rules. In this week's parasha, Edom rules. Edom does not allow the Jews to travel through their land, and Moshe says, we're going to have to circumvent, we're going to have to go around, we can't enter. It's not time to go into the land of Edom yet. But really, Tammuz, which is the month of Reuven, Reuven is the red stone on the Choshen, which is Oidem, same letters as Edom. Tammuz is supposed to be the month in which the Midas Hadin of Kedusha is supposed to rule, which is B'machshava Techila, like the Halacha will be in the future, like Beis Shammai. Instead, Edom was given the rule. Esav takes over Edom. Edom, Esav is actually the anti-Reuven. Reuven is called Reuven, as Leah said, Ma bein b'ni levein chami. So Reuven is compared to Esav. Esav is the oldest, and yet he protests the Bechayra that he himself sold to Yaakov. He tries to kill Yaakov. He tries to prevent him from being buried in the Maris HaMachpelah. While Reuven on the other side, Reuven had his Bechayra taken away from him. He didn't sell it. And it was given to Yosef, and he goes out of his way to save Yosef. So Reuven is the opposite of Esav, but they're both the same Midah. They're both Midas Hadin. They're both red, except Reuven is Oidem of Kedusha, which is the Midas Hadin that the world was originally supposed to be created with. And that's where Parah Aduma is rooted. Parah Aduma, which is the most illogical of all mitzvahs, is for that reason, obviously, the highest mitzvah. If it makes no sense at all, we can't understand it one bit. It's because it's rooted in Keser, it's rooted higher than Chachma Bina Das, it cannot be understood. It's Adolai Yoda, that's why right after Purim we read Parashas Parah. Parah and Purim are one and the same. Purim, we get a taste of this concept, where we reach that level of Adolai Yoda, where we don't understand, Chayiv Inish Lepsumei B'Puria Adolai Yoda, which is the goal. A Jew is actually supposed to reach that level when he realizes that he doesn't know. That's the highest level, Adolai Yoda. And it's interesting that the combination of Hashem's name for the month of Tammuz, which is the last letters of Ze Einenu Shoveli, is in Megillas Esther. That means that Tammuz is rooted in Megillas Esther. Tammuz is rooted in Purim because what we were zeichet to on Purim, we were supposed to be zeichet to on Shavasa B'Tammuz. On Shavasa B'Tammuz, we were supposed to receive the first luchos. And the Imre Emes tells us that Purim is rooted in the first luchos. Because the Pasuk says in Ekev, when the Torah describes there that the entire Torah is in the Luchos, the Gemara says, including Megillas Esther, says the Imre Emes, that tells us that Purim is rooted in the Luchos HaRishonos, the Luchos before they were broken. And right now, every year, after Shavuos, before Shavasa B'Tamuz, we are in the 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai, which well, these 40 days had the potential of turning into the Shavasa B'Tamuz that it was supposed to be. Moshe Rabbeinu understood Parah Aduma, even though Parah Aduma is Adal Yada, because Moshe Rabbeinu was Zoicha on the last day of his life, Moshe Rabbeinu was Zoicha to be buried on the mountain called Nevoi, Nunboi. Nunboi is the Shar Hanun. The Shar Hanun of Kedusha, that's Adal Yada. That's the Eitz Kavoya Hamishim Amma that Haman wanted to hang Mordechai on, as the Sfarim say. He wanted to bring the Jews into the Shar Hanun of Tumah. The Shar Hanun of Tumah is Kfira and total denial, even of that which one could see, Latsonis, like in our generation, Shar Hanun of Tumah. Our generation finds itself now in the Shar Hanun of Tumah, which is what Tumas Meis is. It's a dead generation. Tumas Meis is the Avi Avos. It is the father of all Tumas, the father of the fathers of Tumah. There cannot be, there's no greater Tumah than Tumas Meis. And it's Beruchnius in spirituality. Tumas Meis means total disconnection. A generation like ours, where the Jews are, where there are so many, I heard this week, 90% of the Jewish people in the world today are disconnected. That's scary. 90%. And even in Eretz Yisrael, with the Tshuva movement and everything, it's still the majority is not connected. That's the Shar Hanun of Tumah. But Parah Aduma is rooted in the Shar Hanun of Kedusha, which is Adal Yada, and because it's so high, it has the power to purify even those who fell into the Shar Hanun of Tumah, which is our generation. That's why the one who's going to perform the last Parah Aduma is Mashiach. Only Mashiach can take this generation out of Golus. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu in his time, who was able to purify Klal Yisrael to some degree from the Chet HaEgel, which we know the Parah Aduma is the tikkun, the rectification for the Chet HaEgel. But Moshe just started the process. Mashiach will complete it. Moshe is Mashaho Yehusha Yihiyah. Goyel Rishon Hu Goyel Achroin. He's the first Redeemer. He's the last Redeemer. If not for what happened in this week's parasha by the Mei Meriva, Moshe Rabbeinu would have been the Goyel Achroin. Parah Aduma would have been revealed. Parah Aduma has in it Geula and Golus at the same time, which is why it's illogical. On the one hand, it purifies from Tumas Meis. It's Metaher Tumeim, which means it's the Esruach HaTumah A'avir Min Ha'oretz. It's connected to Geula. Geula means Tahara. The Mashiach is going to purify us and purify the world. That's Parah Aduma on one hand. On the other hand, it's Metaher, it's Metameh the Tahirim. That's Golus. That's why it's illogical. It's Geula but and Golus at the same time. We don't understand it. In other words, it can go both ways. And the Parah Aduma that Mashiach is going to perform, that he's going to burn, is going to only be Geula. It's going to only be Metaher Temeim. It's not going to be Metameh Tahirim. And that's when Parah Aduma is going to be understood for what it really is. And right after the Torah talks to us about the Parah Aduma, and it talks to us about the death of Miriam, whose death was also a chayk, it made no sense why she died. And that's why it's right next to the story of the Parah Aduma. It's Misa Tzadik and Mechaperes. Moshe Rabbeinu is told to talk to the rock Le'einehem. Le'einehem means they're going to see you talk. They're going to see the sound coming out of your mouth. We find this by Matan Torah, where it says, V'chol ha'am royim es ha'koylois. When Mashiach comes, V'ra'u kol basor yachtov kipi Hashem dibur. As mentioned many times, the difference between the Torah of Mashiach and the Torah that we have today is the Torah we have today, we hear, but we don't see. Toshma. But the Torah of the future is Tochazi, as it says in the Zohar. We're going to see it. It's going to be right in front of our eyes. Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisrael almost got there by the Mei Meriva. The Dibartem al Hasela Le'einehem. If you talk to the rock, they're going to see you talking. They're going to see the sound. It's going to be like it was by Matan Torah. But the Satan got involved here. And Moshe Bola Klal Kas, Bola Klal Toos, he calls the Jews Moirim, rebellious. Hamin Hasela Hazen Noitzi Lochem Moim, and the Chet Eitz Hadas is here again. Just as at that time the world would have reached its tikkun, had Adam waited, had Adam not eaten from the Eitz Hadas, here too, this would have been the perfect world had Moshe Rabbeinu spoken to the rock. We know that the Be'er of Miriam is actually the Pnimius HaTorah. It's the Torah that's going to be revealed in the future. There's a famous Maaseh that was said over. I heard it from Rav Wolfson, but I saw it brought down in many Svarim. that when the Arizal took Reb Chaim Vital for a boat ride in the Yamashel Tveria, which Rashi brings down in this parasha, that that's where the Be'er of Miriam was Nignaz. The Be'er of Miriam was Nignaz bi Yamashel Tveria. Rashi says it here in the same time where Rashi tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu was buried Al Rosh HaPisgah, Asher Bizdei Moyav Rosh HaPisgah, which is where Moshe Rabbeinu was buried. From there it says one can see, under the other Pshat and Rashi, is that from there we could see where the Be'er Shel Miriam is in Yamashel Tveria. So the Arizal took his student, Reb Chaim Vital, in Yamashel Tveria to the spot where he said that the Be'er of Miriam was Nignaz, and he told him to drink from that water. And from then on it says, Reb Chaim Vital was Masig Soidos HaTorah. What is that? What is drinking from the water of Yamashel Tveria, or that part of Yamashel Tveria, you have to do with Soidos HaTorah? That tells us that the Eira Shel Miriam is connected to the Torah of the future. And Moshe Rabbeinu, had he spoken to the rock and not hit the rock, that would have been the revelation. The Eira Shel Miriam would have been returned the way it's going to be in the future. But the Satan, like before any major event, the Satan always mixes in. Right before Moshe comes down from Har Sinai with the Luchos, the Satan convinces Klal Yisrael to get involved in Cheshbonos. Bo Sheish. Vayarom ki Bo Sheish Moshe. Moshe is delaying his trip down the mountain. It's already the sixth hour. Moshe Rabbeinu said he's coming down on the 40th day. They thought it was the 40th day. It's really the 39th day. They made a whole calculation. And according to their calculation, Moshe Rabbeinu was not here. And therefore, this was all a toast. It's all a mistake. Moshe is dead. That's what the Satan showed them, the image of Moshe Rabbeinu lying dead on a bed. The Mus Moshe Herol Bahem Bemita, and for that reason, they made an ego. And at the end of the parasha, we read that the city that Moshe Rabbeinu, together with Klal Yisrael, conquered from Sihon, who took it away from Moav, is called Cheshbon. Vaniram Ovad Cheshbon. Cheshbon is lost. There's no more Cheshbon. By conquering this city that's called Cheshbon, the Torah is telling us that Moshe Rabbeinu was preparing them for the time when there won't be any cheshbon. On the one hand, a Jew has to make a cheshbon, as the Gemara says in Bava Basra, on this pasuk, Alkein Yoimru HaMoshelim Boyu Cheshbon, those who are Moshel B'Yitzram, those who rule the Yetzahara, have to make a cheshbon. A person has to make a cheshbon tzedek every day. Boyu V'Nachshoev Cheshbon Yishel Oilem Heve Mechashev Hefseid Mitzvah Keneged Tzcharu Tzchar Aveir Keneged Hefseida, as we read in Pirkei Avos. Yes, a person has to make a cheshbon when it comes to avodas Hashem. But when it comes to doing a mitzvah, when it comes to following the tzivuyim of Hashem, a person is not supposed to make a cheshbon. A person is not supposed to be involved in cheshbonos, in trying to calculate and figure things out, that which is beyond our understanding. What's beyond our understanding, we're not supposed to make any cheshbonos. The cheshbon that Klal Yisrael made by the Egel is what brought us into the world of death. It brought us into the world of decomposition. Because if not, we would have entered into the world of Nitzchias, which is really what was supposed to happen in Chodesh Tammuz. It's interesting that the name of the idol of Moav is called Kemosh. Oilucha Moav Avadeta Am Kemosh. Kemosh means in Aramaic, rat, to rat. Rashi says on the Pasuk in Yisroel, Novoil Tiboil, Lashoin Kemisha. Kemisha means to rat, to spoil. Because the nations don't have any Nitzchias. You, the nation that is going to end, it's going to spoil and rot and decompose, have been lost. Now we know that in Moav, that's where Mashiach is rooted. That's where Rus comes from. Stay Moav. Stay Moav is Begematria Mashiach. It says in Rus that we read on Shavuos that Naomi says to Rus that she heard Bisday Moav. Kipokad Hashem es Amoy, that Hashem remembered his nation. Hashem remembered them. She heard that in Sedei Moav, because Sedei Moav is where Mashiach is rooted. Sedei Moav, Begematria Mashiach. And what's interesting is that's where Moshe Rabbeinu was buried. Moshe Rabbeinu was buried in Sedei Moav. Sedei Moav was conquered by Sichon so that Moshe could take it over from him instead of having to go into Moav straight, because we weren't allowed to do it at that time. Moshe Rabbeinu conquers this area, including the city of Cheshbon, and now he's able to handle it over to the Bnei Yisrael, deliver it to Bnei Yisrael. And which one of Bnei Yisrael received this city called Cheshbon?
Reuven. We read in Parshas Matos, Uvenei Reuven banu es Cheshbon ve es El Olei ve es Kiryasoyim, and also the city of Nevoi. Nevoi, says Unkelus, is where Moshe Rabbeinu was buried. So according to this, Moshe Rabbeinu was buried in the portion of land of Reuven. And this portion of land is where Mashiach is rooted. Avadeta am Kamoish is begamatria sham at smiach keren ledavid. By the city of Kamoish falling, and that was Moav receiving a mapala and being defeated here, that gives way for the tzmichas keren ledavid, because this is where Rus comes from, and this is where David HaMelech and eventually Mashiach are rooted. Vaniram avad cheshboin ad divine. Rashi says that niram comes from the word near. A near is a kingdom. Kingdom is called a near. One of the Caesars of Rome was known as Neron. So Rashi, in fact, brings here in this pasuk of Aniram Ova that the Malchus of Moav was lost in this war. The Chain, he says, he brings the pasuk near as a Lashon Malchus, as it says, Laman Heyois near LeDavid Avdi. Rashi doesn't have to say more than just that, because this is where it's all at. This is where David comes from. But it's amazing, though, the words Vaniram Ovad Cheshbain Ad the Divine is exactly the gematria David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kaya. David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kaya, meaning Malchus based David is eternal. Malchus based David is forever. Moyav is Kemoish. It doesn't last. It rots. It decomposes. There's no Nitzchias. While Malchus based David is forever. Am Yisrael Chai. Cheshbain is also the same gematria as Kemoish. Those who are involved in the Cheshbon, and those in the calculations and the numbers of this world, they don't last. But those who connect to that which is above Cheshbon, that which is above logic, they experience eternity. And that's Klal Yisrael. And that's the connection between Parah Aduma to the end of the parasha. Parah Aduma is the mitzvah that defies logic. It's illogical, it cannot be explained. It has no cheshbon. There's no cheshbon to understand Parah Aduma. And exactly that is what's taught at the end of the parasha, that the city called Cheshbon is conquered from Moav by Sihon, so that Klal Yisrael can receive it. And when Moshe Rabbeinu kills Sihon and Og, that's exactly what happens. And who does he give it to? He gives it to Reuven. Reuven was supposed to receive the Malchus. Even though Reuven lost it, but what's interesting is that Reuven did get the area where Mashiach is rooted. Reuven is given Cheshbon, Reuven is given Nevoi, where Moshe Rabbeinu was buried, Nunboi, and on the day that Moshe Rabbeinu was buried, which means the day of Zayin Adar, which only came about because of a Chet Meriva, Moshe Rabbeinu was masig the Parah Aduma. Moshe Rabbeinu understood what Parah Aduma is all about. In fact, Rashi at the end of Chumash tells us, based on the Gemara in Soita, that Moshe Rabbeinu was buried right next to Beis Peor, which is the Avodah Zarah that the Jews worshipped also in this area later, as we'll see in Parshas Balak and Parshas Pinchas. The Kvura, where Moshe Rabbeinu was buried, which was right next to Beis Peor, Rashi says his burial place was already set aside there, Mishashis and Beberashis, Lachaper al Maisa Peor. V'ze'echad ben advarim shenivru be'erev Shabbos ben Hashmashis. The burial place of Moshe Rabbeinu was created Erev Shabbos ben Hashmashis. We read it in Pirkei Avos. The Gemara, in fact, in Soita says that no one could figure out where Moshe Rabbeinu was buried. They went there, and they saw the actual mountain, which is Nevoi, and wherever they went, it says the burial place moved. It's like the Oroin. It says the Oroin took up no space. Makom ha'Oroin einoy min hamida, because, again, Torah is above Cheshbon. There's no Cheshbon. There's no physics. There's no math. We cannot be explained how the Oroin managed to fit in the Kodesh HaKadosh mathematically. The kavura of Moshe Rabbeinu, the burial place of Moshe Rabbeinu, made no sense either. That's why it says, V'lo yoda ish es kivurasoi. The lo yoda was ad the lo yoda. It cannot be explained. It defies logic. Now, this burial place of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is located, as the pasuk says here, Asher Bisdei Moav. Asher Bisdei Moav, the Megala Amuka says, Asher Bisdei Moav is begematria beis hamikdash. The Kvura of Moshe has the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash, and just like in the Beis HaMikdash also, there's no logic. The Beis HaMikdash is the place, as the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, so many Nisim that took place that no one understood. It's Lamayla Menacheshman. It's in this world, but yet it's not in this world. It defies logic. The Kvura of Moshe was no different. And we notice that Haman thought that he'd be able to overpower the Jews because Moshe Rabbeinu dies in Chodesh Adar, or at least he thinks he dies. The Gemara says Moshe did not die. Even though it says, Vayomas Sham Moshe Ever Hashem. So the Gemara says, Moshe Loimeis, whatever pshatin that is, Yaakov Vino Loimeis, the Gemara says that too. David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. In other words, basically saying that the death of a tzaddik is different than that of a regular person, that he lives on, it's Pashtusa the Moshe B'chol Dara V'Dara, which Haman doesn't understand. Haman thinks that the demise of Moshe and Adar means the end of Klal Yisrael, and that's why the Chet HaEgel occurs. The Chet HaEgel occurs because Klal Yisrael think if there's no Moshe Rabbeinu, there's no future, and that enabled them to make an Egel, because Mes Moshe, Moshe dies. This happened in Chodesh Tammuz, not now, which Chodesh Tammuz, which is the fourth month, Keneged Netzach, which Netzach is the Midah of Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, in Tammuz, Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to live on. On Shavasa B'Tammuz, had Moshe come down from the mountain and given us those luchais like it was supposed to be, we would have reached that level of understanding Parah Aduma. The world would have entered into the Olam HaNitzchi, the Olam HaShmini, and we would have had Moshe with us forever. But because of what happened in Chodesh Tammuz, we have to come onto the Parah Aduma in a different way. We have to come onto the Parah Aduma to be metaher us from Tumas Meis, which is the part of Parah Aduma that we don't understand. The fact that at the same time that it's metaher tmeim, it's metame tahirim. Reuven, who is the red stone on the Choshen, Reuven comes from the word Re'iyah. Ki ra'a Hashem ba'anyi. Reuven, which is Re'iyah, is connected Chodesh Tammuz, which the Arizal says, and it says in Sefer Yetzirah, that Chodesh Tammuz is connected to Re'iyah. Every month is connected a different part of the body. Tammuz is the eyes. Himlich ois ches be'Re'iyah. Which means that in Tammuz we were supposed to experience that level of Torah which we could see with our own eyes, the Luchos HaRishonos. Instead, we lost it because of Chet HaEgel. But Moshe Rabbeinu is mispal for Reuven. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Yechi Reuven va'al yomais. There is no other bracha like that by any Shevet, that the Shevet should live and not die. I mean, every Shevet should live and not die. What does that mean? Only Reuven? So Rashi says, Yechi Reuven, that it should not be mentioned, the Chet of Bilha. The Chet of Bilha should not be mentioned, the Al yomais lo'aylam haba, and therefore Reuven should have aylam haba. But in the bracha of Reuven, we see definitely this concept of Nitzchius. Because Reuven, which corresponds to Tammuz is the month of Nitzchius. Tammuz is supposed to be the month in which we are supposed to experience Netzach, we're supposed to experience eternity. The Chidah brings down from the Chachmei Ashkenaz, on the Pasuk at the end of the parasha, Oylecha Moya, Vavadta Am Kamosh, Nosan Bonav Pelaitim V'Noisav Bashevis, says the Chidah. The Pasuk says, the sons of Moya were refugees and the daughters were taken into captivity. Not the other way around. So the Chidah says that Hashem made it that the daughters only were taken into captivity, and it doesn't matter because the daughters of Moav are muta lavay b'kohol anyway. The sons were refugees. In other words, the sons of Moav, everyone knew who they were. The boys, everyone knew who they were, and the boys are not allowed to marry Jews. The girls went into captivity, and whether they are from Moav or not, it doesn't matter because we know Moav v'loy Moavis, Amoini v'loy Moavis. And he says that here we see that Hashem already had planned that later Rus is going to marry Boaz. Says the Chassam Sofer an amazing thing. Rus married Boaz, Shavasa B'Tammuz. The Chassam Sofer makes a cheshbon. He tells you exactly how we see it from the Pesukim. And what could be one of the reasons we lay in Rus on Shavuos is that, because as we know, Shavuos is when it started. It was supposed to be completed, Shavasa B'Tammuz. Shavasa B'Tammuz, we were supposed to receive the first luchas. Instead, we lost it, but still, Shavasa B'Tammuz later is the day that Rus marries Boaz. Nosan Bonav Pelaitim Uvanoisav Bashevis. Here, the fact that the daughters of Moav were taken into captivity, not the sons, because it doesn't matter, because the Bonois are Mutter anyway, even though they're taken into captivity, we don't know who's who, it doesn't matter, because even if they are daughters of Moav, they are allowed to enter into Klal Yisrael. This prepares us for the future, for the marriage of Boaz and Rus and Shavasa B'Tammuz, which leads to Malchus Beis David, which leads to the coming of Mashiach, who's going to bring us into the world of Netzchias, and he's going to introduce us to that Torah that we're going to be able to see with our own eyes, Torah Seishol Mashiach, the Torah of the future, which that is the Torah of the Shar Hanun, the Torah that is higher than Cheshbon. The Torah that we learn now, which is the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, is still in the world of Cheshbon, and we have to come on to Cheshbon, and we need Cheshbon, and we have to use our logic in order to understand Torah, but in the future we're going to reach the level that is higher than that, Avad Cheshbon, where Cheshbon will be gone, where we will enter into a world that is higher than Cheshbon, and then everyone will understand what Parah Aduma is all about. Because Parah Aduma, we read in Parashas Beshalach, was already given to Klal Yisrael in Mora. Everyone asks the question, why was Parah Aduma given in Mora if there was no Egel yet? If the whole purpose of the Parah Aduma is to be Mechaper for the Chet HaEgel, why was Parah Aduma given in Mora? So obviously the Parah Aduma that was given in Mora before Chet HaEgel is Parah Aduma b'taharasa, Parah Aduma which is not just to rectify for the Chet HaEgel, which is the part of the Parah that we don't understand because it's Metahir Tamem and it's Metame Tahirim. That's the Parah Aduma, that's the Shar Hanun that later Moshe Rabbeinu understands. That's the Parah Aduma that all of us will be privileged to understand in the time of Geula. Tomorrow night we enter into the month of Tammuz, and every year as we get closer and closer to the actual time of Geula, every year Tammuz is waiting for us to ignite it. Tammuz is a month that can go either way. That's how it's always been. Tammuz is a month that was destined for greatness. It just never happened yet. Because in Tammuz, the Chatoyim of the Egel and the Meraglim took place instead. By both we find that they were poigim in their Re'iyah. By the Egel it says, Vayar ha'om ki boishesh Moshe. And by the Meraglim it says, Vishom ra'inu b'nei anok min hanafilim v'hanihi b'einenu kachagov. It says, there we saw giants. Who were those giants that they saw? The giants that they saw were Sichon and Og, the Bnei Sham Chazoi. So that when they saw them, they were so scared. In our parasha, though, they overpowered Sichon and Og. In our parasha, Sichon and Og are conquered now. They realized that how they viewed Sichon and Og at that time in Tammuz when they sent them to Raglan was wrong. And that Moshe was right. And that no matter how tall or how powerful the nations are, as long as we put our trust in Hashem, we can conquer them. The last pasuk of the parasha is where Bnei Yisrael find themselves right before they're about to enter into Eretz Yisrael. They are now in the plains of Moav. And as we read at the beginning of Devarim, when Devarim is taught, it says, Achrei ha-koisai e-sichai melechu ha-moiriv yes-oig melech cheshboin. Then afterwards, Hoyel Moshe be'eres ha-toira ha-zois. Moshe Rabbeinu begins teaching Sefer Devarim, which is called Mishneh Torah, which Sefer Devarim, as we mentioned at different times, is the fifth Sefer of Chumash, corresponding to the fifth level of the Neshama that's going to be revealed when Mashiach will come. Moshe Rabbeinu begins teaching that after Sichon and Og are killed, because they prevent us from entering Eretz Yisrael. And once the obstacle has been removed, and we can now enter into Eretz Yisrael, we already start to feel the Torah of Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu is starting to teach now the higher level of Torah, which is Sefer Devarim. That's why it was taught in Eretz Moav, which Moav is one of the three countries, Keni, Knizi, Kadmoni, that's going to be conquered in the time of Mashiach. That's where Moshe Rabbeinu begins teaching Sefer Devarim. In our time too, in the last years, where Eretz Yisrael now is now in our hands to some degree. In the last few hundred years in general, when Klal Yisrael began making Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, whether it was Talmidei HaGra, Talmidei HaBaal Shem Tov, Talmidei HaKhsam Sofer, the Arizal, that's when we see also that the Torah of the future is beginning slowly to be open to the public. The Arizal began revealing Pnimiyas HaTorah, the part of the Torah that Mashiach is going to completely reveal. And the Baal Shem Tov and his Talmidim, up until this very moment, there are many in Eretz Yisrael that are involved now in learning parts of Torah that till now were concealed. No one ever learned. Because as we're getting closer to the time of Avad Cheshbon, we're getting closer to the time when there are no more cheshbonos. We're getting closer to the time when we're going to reach that level that of Parah Aduma. We see slowly, like Erev Shabbos, it says there's a minhag to taste the food of Shabbos, to taste the cholent, to taste the kugel before Shabbos starts. You get a taste of Shabbos. Toyameha chayim zochu. So too, before the actual geula, we're getting a taste a little bit of what's coming with trickles and bits and pieces of the Torah of the future. And that is rooted in Tveria, where the Be'era Shel Miriam is. Tveria, which is one of the hot springs that was left behind after the Mabul, which we know that the Mabul, spiritually, what the Mabul really is the opening of the wellsprings, the wellsprings of the Pnimiyas HaTorah. That's why the Mabul actually started, according to
Rabbi Yehoshua on the 18th of the year, which is the other side of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, the one who began revealing Pnimius HaTorah, and Chamei Tveria were left after the Mabul ended and all the hot springs were plugged. It says Hashem left a few hot springs in the world to remind us of the Mabul. One of them is the Chamei Tveria, where the Be'erushal Miriam is. The Erushal Miriam is still there. Tveria, it says, is where the Sanhedrin is going to convene first when the Geula comes. It was the place where the Sanhedrin convened last. As we know, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Esa Golia is Golsa Sanhedrin, and the last place was Tveria. So from Tveria, that'll be where the Sanhedrin will once again convene, and then go back ten stops to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is where it all is at. Yerushalayim is where Mashiach will teach this Torah of Re'iyah. The Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu taught us was on Har Sinai. The Torah that Mashiach will teach us is in Yerushalayim. And Tammuz, being the fourth month, which is Netzach, and the Gemara says Netzach is Yerushalayim. So Tammuz is the month of Yerushalayim. And just like then, when Sichon and Og were killed, who were trying to prevent Klal Yisrael from entering into Yerushalayim, from entering into Eretz Yisrael, that's when Moshe Rabbeinu begins revealing Sefer Devarim. So to an hour time when Yishmael is trying to prevent this, the fifth Golus, Yishmael, which took root on top of the Har HaBayis in Yerushalayim, trying to prevent us from entering Yerushalayim and entering the Har HaBayis, when they are going to be removed, when they're going to be out of there, when that obstacle is going to be removed, that's when we know that Mashiach is going to be able to reveal this Torah that is the Bechina of Re'iyah, the Bechina of Reuven. And so Moshe Rabbeinu's burial place is in the Mokoyim of Reuven, and the city of Cheshbon and Nevoi were given to Reuven, which Reuven corresponds to Tammuz. And this is the connection, of course, to what the Torah talks about here, to this month of Tammuz. We should be zoicha that Tammuz should turn into the month that it was destined to be. Tammuz is begematria soimech Hashem l'chol ha'noiflim. It has fallen, but it's going to rise. Just as Reuven, who was the Bechor, will be reinstated. And that's what Moshe was being mispallowed when he said, Yechi Reuven va'al yomai, so too we should be zeichet to the restoration of Tammuz, that Tammuz should become the month that it was destined to be, and we should be zeichet to the Luchas HaRishaynais, to the Bechina of Adel Yoda. That's why we read now Pashas Purim, just like we do right after Purim, we read it now before Shavuos B'Tammuz at the same time, because what happened on Purim, we were supposed to be zeichet to on Shavuos B'Tammuz. May we be zeichet to it this year, and may Shavuos B'Tammuz be the topic to a day of Simcha and Sosay, and Giloy of Tairasay Shal Mashiach. Mm-hmm.